Welcome to the Vines Uniting Church this morning, those of you who are here and those who are watching online. Across late August, the bishops of the Worldwide Anglican Communion met together at Lambeth for the 10-yearly Lambeth Conference. So it had been 12 years since they had the last one. The Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, in his first keynote address to the conference said this: "My prayer for this conference is very simple. It is that everyone here, whoever you are, wherever you've come from, whatever hopes and fears you may bring with you, that you leave with your heart full of desire for friendship with Jesus Christ. For to desire Jesus is to desire God. To desire Jesus is to desire to be filled with love for God and, by God, love for his people and love for his world." So this morning I've taken Archbishop Justin's prayer and made it ours. For everyone here, everyone watching online, whoever we are, wherever we've come from, whatever hopes and fears we may have brought with us, may we leave with our hearts full of desire for friendship with Jesus Christ. In our desire for Jesus, may we know desire for God. In our desire for Jesus, may we be filled with love for God, love for God's people, love for God's world. Amen. Let's stand and sing together.
Presence of the Lord, the Holy One. Search for all eternity long and find Hey, I've got some notices this morning, people. I hope you're well and online. You're keeping warm. It's fun and games, isn't it? Hey, look, there's some flyers for the first Saturday in September, 3rd of September. We're doing a big spring fair here, so grab some flyers and just randomly put them in people's letterboxes. I'm really not fussed where you put them. Just walk down the street and think, oh, this is a nice letterbox. I mean, or you can put it around to your neighbours near you. One of the two. That's all right. Oh, that looks nice. So, okay, a reminder. You can start dropping off, if you haven't already, some things for the white elephant stall. Marge has given me a list about the things we shouldn't drop off. No clothes, no electrical items, no large, heavy items. Books are appreciated. If you wouldn't buy it or read it, don't bring it. Goods can be brought to the church from next Sunday, which is the 26th. Actually, it shouldn't be the 26th. 28th. Yes. So check your diaries for that. Now, this Friday, what is coming up this Friday? Friday Friends. So again, 10 o'clock. If you're not sure what to do with yourself, grab your neighbour, grab yourself, come on down and have some coffee and tea. It should be a lot of fun. Let me think what else. Christmas boxes. So when you go out, there's some Christmas boxes. They're due back on the September the 11th, I think. Close. And gives you a chance to pack the boxes with different things for kids to have in different countries. Wonderful idea. D-Mac is going to just share some brief words with us.
I love watching this little champ when we're singing. He's got a really good sense of rhythm. I don't know whether you've noticed that or not. It's beautiful to watch.
Sign him up.
Two things I've mentioned before. One is if you are interested in being part of an intercessory group for the Vines, please let me know. This is the last time I'm going to say anything about it. Also, the date's been set for the Quiet Day, 24th of September, Saturday, here at the Vines, 9:30 until 3:30. If you're interested in attending that, would like to attend that, the theme is spring, and a quote from the Song of Solomon, "My beloved spoke and said to me, arise, my darling, my beautiful one," that's you he's talking to, and me, "come with me, see, the winter is past, the rains are over and gone." If you're interested in being part of that day, there are some registration forms because I need to know who's coming so I can prepare all the bits. They're on the table on the right-hand side as you go out through the doors. Thank you.
Hey, kids, I've got some time to spend with you. If you want to jump down the front here, come on down. Come on, you bashful, wonderful chum. Hey, you know what? I was going to do a children's talk today, but I woke up too late. I was going to do a children's talk today with lots of funny jokes, but I couldn't find any. I was going to do a children's talk with Dave's dodgy drawings, but the board's over there. I was going to do some wonderful, exciting things with you today, but I just couldn't find my shoes. Well, I did find my shoes eventually. I was just going to do some other wonderful, exciting things with you guys. I was going to paint a picture. I was going to sing a song, but I didn't bring my guitar, and I couldn't find the words.
And you can't sing.
And I can't sing. I was going to do lots of wonderful, amazing things, but I just couldn't find anything. I was going to... What am I doing? Can anybody... I was going to come up with some great ideas, but the dog ate my children's talk. What am I doing?
You're saying jokes.
Oh, I'm saying some jokes, yeah, maybe. What am I doing? Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing either. What am I doing?
You're being funny.
Okay, so someone says to you, can you do the dishes? No, sorry, I'm busy. Can you clean up your room? No, sorry, I'm tired. Can you pack away all your stuff from last night? No, I can't. What am I doing? What am I doing? What am I doing? What are you doing?
You're being lazy.
Being lazy? Okay. All right. Well, let me give you some. So sometimes we make excuses. Let's turn around and see how many people make excuses. Put your hands up if you make excuses. Let's see those who are honest putting their hands. Thank you very much. We all make excuses. Today, in the Bible reading, we're going to hear about a man who said, God said, Jeremiah, I want you to do something. And he said, I'm too young. I'm too this. I'm too that. You heard that in your chapel at school. That's good. That's good. You want to say something, Alex? Well, I'm encouraging him. I think he's going to get it. So, excuses. Today we're talking about excuses. And why do people make excuses? Sometimes they don't want to do it. That's it. Don't want to do it. Sometimes they're lazy. I like that question. What do you think? Why don't people want to do things? Because they don't know what to do.
Because they don't want to do it.
Because they don't want to. And sometimes they're afraid. Sometimes they're afraid of doing something because they might get it wrong. They might not get it right. They might do something. So today we're going to listen to this reading from Jeremiah and find out what he's afraid of. Okay. Well, you just keep that under your hat. Oh, okay, what do you think he's afraid of?
He's afraid of to be... To help the church people.
Oh, okay, well, let's see. Let me say a prayer. Thank you for all your wonderful work today. Jesus, we thank you for these wonderful young people. We thank you they're a part of our life. We're so excited that they're here. We ask that we can continue to not make excuses, but be brave like you want us to be brave. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, guys. Good to see you. Excellent.
We are going to bring our offerings to the Lord now. Just remain seated for the first couple of verses, and then I'll get you to stand towards the end.
And for her.
Father, we praise you and thank you that you are a giving God, and thank you so much, Lord, that you have given yourself to us through your Son, Jesus. Help us, Lord, to give in return, to give of ourselves, who we are, what we do, in every circumstance. And this morning, Lord, we bring to you the offerings that Pam is holding, the offerings that have been given online, and pray, Lord, that you would help us to use them wisely for the glory of your kingdom as we seek to reach beyond the walls of this building. We give you praise, thanks, honor, and glory. Abba, Father, Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit. Amen. Please take seats.
Good morning. Whenever I am to lead intercessory prayers, I find myself spending much time asking God, where do I start? How do I pray? Our world seems to be in such a mess. But yet it is also beautiful. The sunrise and the sounds of the birds greeting the day. Sunsets with many colours filling the sky. The ever-changing vista of the sea and the calming peace of a country walk. It is all there, firmly held in the Creator's hands. And it is also such a sad place, as we are daily confronted by scenes of violence and heartache, disrespect and cruelty, greed, self-interest and power struggles. How much the heart of the Creator must weep at what children do to each other. Creator God, whose majesty is seen in all creation, whose mercy reaches to all created, who need nothing we can offer and yet gives us all we need, who silences the shouts of the proud and amplifies the whispers of the humble, and hears the cries of the hurting, please hear our prayers which we bring to you today. God of grace and God of glory, on your people pour your power. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the facing of this hour. We are so grateful that through the presence of your Holy Spirit in our lives, we are able to see beyond what is to what can be. Help us to respond with courage and strength to the challenges which daily confront us. Please help us to be willing to speak out against injustice so that we might instigate change and make a difference for those who feel lost and abandoned. Some of us have deep concerns for our health or the health of those dear to us. Maybe we have life-changing decisions which have to be made. Others are troubled by family situations which are beyond our ability to resolve. Sleepless nights with no answers and moments of despair as faces of loved ones parade through our wakefulness. Oh God, we pray for the peace that enables us to leave it all in your loving hands and to trust that no cry or whisper escapes you and that you will journey with us through this season. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the living of these days. Lord God, we wish that we might have the ability to bring sense to our troubled world as we see the ever-increasing unrest in countries near and far, and even on our own shores. Our prayer is for peace in our world, But that can only happen as hearts are changed and the common good is put before self-interest, desire for power, and total disregard for others. It seems an impossible request. But we know that nothing is impossible with you. Help us to trust the big picture to you and work to make that difference wherever we find ourselves in the small picture. We pray for those who are struggling to survive in this time of economic challenge. We pray for those who are homeless and living rough. We thank you for the organisations which make it their priority to care for these people and to provide basic necessities, warm blankets and a free feed. Help us, O God, to become a more compassionate community, for governments to really see what is going on around them and make efforts to put the needs of humanity above self-aggrandisement and politics. We offer a prayer for all those whose role it is every day to care for others, doctors, nurses, paramedics, teachers, council workers, shop assistants, and so many others. May we all understand that as those who profess the name of Jesus, it is our call to be kind, caring, generous and loving to all who touch our lives. O Holy One, we have a long way to go to do your will, to love ourselves, to love our neighbour, to love you. We get distracted, so much going on around us and worldwide. We have so many demands upon our time and energy. Protect us, comfort us, cleanse our physical wounds, calm our racing thoughts, hold us tightly, whisper to us as we feel a grey despair that clings to these times of staggering war, expanding famine, lengthening drought and flooding rains. Help us to be to those around us the presence of Jesus, offering love, grace and compassion in every situation. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, serving thee whom we adore. Let us now share in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Morning, everybody. The reading today is from Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 to 10. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I'm only a boy. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm only a boy, for you shall go to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations, over kingdoms, to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's remain seated for this song. Mm-hmm. change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. You are the
songs today and the singing. It's been a really wonderful, reflective way to enter into some of this theme. And well, let me share a short prayer to begin or continue. Our Lord Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity not only to live in Australia but to gather together freely without persecution and to have the chance to have our lives shaped through your Spirit. Amen. Now, we've got about 5 or 6 weeks where the theme will be on Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah's got 52 chapters. So, I'm only doing 6 weeks. So that means I've just selectively picked up some things which has got a bit of a flow to it, which I've called the discipleship flow. And hopefully it'll become evident as we go through. So the first one is the idea of God's call and our response. So, you know, discipleship flow is about God calling to us and our response. We're all called. We're called to be people of faith, called to live our lives for God. It's not just, you know, what we all are. There's no particular individuals who are highlighted more than others because we're all called on the journey of faith, aren't we? For some people's journey, it starts really like a loud thunderclap, like Jeremiah's, like it's really dramatic. For others, there's a real growing into that call. You know, that living our life, living that faith journey, applying it. We all get the choice to respond. And I loved Jeremiah's attempt. You know, you'd think someone like Jeremiah who has an encounter with God, and God says, right, I've known you since you were born, you're consecrated, you've got all this stuff, that Jeremiah's first response would be, yes. But he says, oh, sorry, God, I'm only a boy. And it's an excuse. I mean, Moses had excuses. I mean, look, everybody has excuses, don't they? In fact, I've used some recently. My beloved asked me to mow the back lawn. I said, honey, it's raining. There's sour sobs. I have to spray them first. It's cold. I'm tired. The church needs me to do some more work for it. That's always my get out of jail free one. But it's interesting. Like, all of us have excuses. But probably my favorite excuse is this next one. The dog ate my lawnmower. Well, it doesn't quite roll off the tongue, does it? But, you know, we all have excuses, don't we? And we've all used the excuses. OK, Can't be bothered going to church today. It's too cold, too hot, too warm, too whatever. Can't be bothered making a phone call. It's too hot, too, you know, whatever. It's just a part of human being, our human nature. We make excuses. And I'm not sure. Has anybody got a great excuse that you use that rolls off the tongue? I'm just a man. I'm simply a mere male. I miss those little sections in the paper. I'm not sure where they went.
It's a bloke thing.
It's a bloke thing, yes. All right, look. You know where I'm going with this, don't you? So Jeremiah lived 3,000 years ago almost. 2,600 to be precise. And he had excuses. So human beings probably haven't changed that much. But it's something that confronts us all. The third slide we have here is the one which, the scripture, you know, where Jeremiah says, Lord, you know, I don't know how to speak, for I'm only a boy. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm only a boy, for you shall go to whom I send you. You shall speak whatever I command you. And this is probably the key verse. Do not be afraid of them. Now that's interesting. You know, normally you don't put a do not be in there. Unless it's actually specifically addressed at that very thing. He wouldn't have said, don't be afraid if there wasn't due cause to be afraid. God was asking Jeremiah to do something, to be his voice to a nation, to kings, to everybody who probably really didn't want to hear him. And what happens when you're the squeaky wheel, you know? What happens when you're the person who's the whistleblower? What happens to you as a person when that happens? Put your hands up if you think you're honored and rewarded richly. No. So there's an inkling Jeremiah has that when God's asking him to do something to the nations, there's going to be a price to pay. The next slide picks up how well and intimate God had known Jeremiah. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you and appointed you a prophet to the nations. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. Wow. You know, when I was appointed at the Vines, I didn't read anything in my job description like that. Whew. Imagine what Jeremiah must have been feeling to have God say, I'm putting some real power into your hands. Or your mouth, actually. Jeremiah is referred to as the weeping prophet. In his lifetime, King Josiah managed to reform the temple and bring in all these reforms. And as a political entity, as a nation, they became quite powerful. When he died in battle, then everything went back on the slide. And so Jeremiah saw great things. Like, just to give you a bit of background and to show you, actually, I did some Old Testament theology and history. There are four things that were really critical to the people of Israel that connected them and with God. One was the promised land. So they knew they had a relationship with God because they were living in the promised land. The second thing was they had the temple. Now, in the old days, the temple was where God resided. They had the Ark of the Covenant in the temple, God's house. And Jerusalem was the city in which God's house on God's promised land was. And then they had a king. And the king became a representative and a sign of God's presence. So those four critical things were a part of what was significant about their faith. Now, where this becomes really important, because we know that the people of Israel, you know, went from nomadic into Egypt, were slaves, then they had the Exodus, they came to the land of milk and honey, and there they formed their identity. So these four things were critical. These four things were critical. They settled down and they had an experience of God. Now, this next slide I've put in for a bit of a history education. So you're going to go away more informed than you came. So initially, see the blue and the yellow? they are actually the original size of what Israel used to look like. But about 50 years before Jeremiah came along, which was about 620 AD, the Blue Territory was absolutely crumped by the Assyrians. So much so that the Assyrians captured that land and then dispersed all the peoples throughout the rest of their captured lands. So as an identity and a people, they were lost. All that was left of Israel was this yellow piece of territory, which included Jerusalem. And they were known as the tribe of Judah. So when Jeremiah comes along, that's the only part of Israel that is left. And so Jeremiah says, hey, don't forget the north got destroyed because they didn't listen to the prophet's words. So the warning that Jeremiah was trying to give to these people was to say, hey, if we don't obey God and follow God's promises, we're going to end up like the northern tribes. So that's really quite confronting, really. Now, where this becomes, and the reason they call Jeremiah the weeping prophet is because he actually saw some terrible things happen. He saw the entire loss of the kingdom of Judah. So the Babylonians came along, and Jeremiah said, what we need to do is surrender to the Babylonians, not fight them. And guess what the king and everybody else did? They fought the Babylonians. And the result was they lost. And so I'm not sure if you remember that Boney M song, by the rivers of Babylon. Well, there's a scripture that goes with it. It talks about the people being, Psalm 137, where the people are taken into captivity by the rivers of Babylon. So the Babylonians came along, totally destroy Jerusalem, destroy the temple, take the people from the land, and take the king with them to Babylon. So they've lost the four things that define their relationship with God. And so they find themselves, next slide, sitting by the rivers of Babylon. And there's a profound verse in this scripture from Psalm 137, I reckon it is. There the wicked carried us away into captivity, required from us a song. Now how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? You know, the Bible, and I said this a couple of years ago, that I've suddenly realized just how much conflict the Bible has been written in. And when you hear Jeremiah, and when you read the Psalms, you know that people's faith was not some sitting on the ocean, watching the beach, having a pina colada. These people had their whole lives thrown about. And somewhere in the midst of that mess and chaos, they asked the question of, well, we've lost the temple, we've lost the city, we've lost the land. Well, the king's here with us. Wow. What does that mean for God? In the old days, if you lost a war, that means your God was defeated. So the people found themselves in a different country, wondering, where is God? And it's a really honest reflection. How can we sing the songs of the Lord in a strange land? You know, the Bible was written in the trauma of war. We don't have to look far, do we, in our world? If you had talked to the people in Afghanistan a year and a bit ago, before the Americans pulled out, their life was okay. New president comes in, the Americans are out, and they're back in the Stone Age, particularly for a woman. Ukraine, if you'd asked someone in Ukraine in January this year how their life was, well, they would have said it's pretty good. Russians are a bit noisy. You know, in February, it's like absolute chaos and horror. We know what these images are like. And so the people who wrote this Bible experienced war on a first-hand basis. And so these people had to come up and figure out, how is God present with this in this mess. There's a commentary I read which said this: Jeremiah was a witness to many of the most tragic and ruinous events of the period. His book is commentary upon the most disastrous episodes of Judah's history. However, primarily, the book of Jeremiah is a book of hope. Now, when I read that quote, I thought, did I miss something? How could that be a book of hope? We've just seen this devastation, this loss, this trauma. And when you look at the Bible, you look through all these things. How can the Bible be a book of hope? What is it about this writing that makes us have hope? One of the quotes that came from a book called The Bible Through the Lens of Trauma came up with this simple little quote. It talks about the book of Jeremiah as being a work of resilience, a book of massive theological imagination, and a kind of survival manual for a destroyed society. A big quote. But I liked some of those things. I liked the reimagining. And when the people were sitting on the rivers in Babylon, wondering where God was, their reimagining of how God would be present with them had to change. Because it wasn't dependent upon the temple, it wasn't dependent on the land, it wasn't dependent on Jerusalem. And sometimes we find ourselves in similar situations. The things that we use to define our worth, our significance, our relationship with God, sometimes go. So the question then is, what sense do we make of that? I remember when I was in India, I just felt like layer upon layer of me was stripped away until I really had not much to hang on to. And one of the things that shifted my view was that Moltmann had this great comment about the crucified God, that Jesus was with me. Not up there watching me suffer somehow, but was with me in my suffering. And that was a big shift. And you can hear Jeremiah helping the people in captivity go through this shift as well. Here are some of the words he shares. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for your harm. To give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me if you seek me with all your heart. I will let you find me, says the Lord. I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I've driven you, says the Lord. I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. And verse 10 is the really interesting one. This is the one before the verses I just read. For thus says the Lord, only when Babylon's 70 years are completed will I visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promises and bring you back. So the people of Israel were in Babylon for 70 years. Before they eventually were released to come back to Jerusalem. I remember saying that probably a couple of months ago that the happiest people in the world are about 84 years old. Now, when you do the maths, you know, you're a child for maybe 10 or 12 years, and then, you know, sometimes it takes 70 years to figure things out. So you're about 82, 3 or 4. Maybe that's how they did the maths. I don't know. But for the people, I should stick to my scripture now. Okay, so for those of you who have just totally missed, my apology. But the idea is that for 70 years, these people had to rework their faith. And for some of us in life, that's what happens for us too. We're reworking, trying to figure out what's going on, reimagining it, because it never stays the same. You know, the first pair of shoes we have when we're 6 are not the sort of shoes you're going to wear the rest of your life. Same with our faith. Our faith expands, changes, because our experiences change. That's what the Bible, beautiful message, is all about. And the message is that God is with us in the mess. Part of our challenge is to explore where is God. And that is a really important question. Not why is God, or why is my life, or why this, but where is God present? Reminds me a little bit of what Jesus said before he left his disciples. He told them to go out into the world with all authority to baptize in the name of the Father and Son. Teach them to obey everything I've told you. You can be sure that I will be with you always. I will continue to be with you until the end of the age. So again, there's that linking promise. All right, that's probably enough for me today. What, I guess the application is, well, so what? Thanks, David. That's really nice. We have a bit of a run through the history. La, 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 la. So what? So, application. How do we apply this to our lives? What is the one connecting point you take away from today? What is it about this? Where is God? Not the why. Maybe it's the God with me in my suffering. Maybe it's the journey of life where we're still trying to figure stuff out. I don't know. Take a moment and invite you to, yes, do some reflecting. What is one thing? You can turn to the person next to you if you'd like. Have a chat. I'll just give you a moment to think and then I'll share a prayer. Lord Jesus, we continue to open our lives to you. We know that we haven't got the truth entirely. We know that we are journeying with you. And we know that life can be a real challenge. We know the scripture reminds us of a faith that is hard fought in the midst of great difficulties and challenges. Holy Spirit, come and fill us as we continue our way to respond in love to your words. In Jesus' name, amen.
I have to just mention before we sing our last song how lovely it is to have the young Digby back here again. He's finished his nomadic wanderings and has returned to the fold.
Found my way home.
Let's stand and sing together. Rugged and uneven, your faithful hand won't lead me astray. Through the rain and the clouds, where the sun is barely shining, grace surrounds my life every day.
Old Testament is the way people used to be able to tell whether someone was a false prophet or a true prophet was whether their words came true. And what was so profound for the people who were taken from Babylon back to Jerusalem is the words were true. And in this amazing, hard-fought way, they could trust God because they knew they were always God's children, regardless. So, go from this place knowing whatever happens in your life, you remain a child of God, and there is hope because God is with you. Go in peace. Amen. You reign.